Welcome to Radio Zine. I'm Marvin from Northwest Veterans for Peace. And today we're going to talk with three women here. Stacy Bannerman, developer. Are you the developer of this project?
Yes, I am. Homefront 911, Military Family Monologues, is a project of the Sanctuary for Veterans and Families. And I'm the founder and executive director and the creator and producer of Homefront 911.
Great. And then Tamara Rosenleaf, and you're part of this?
Yes, I am. I wrote a couple of the monologues, and I am participating in the performance tonight.
And then we have Belle Landau, who's returning Veterans Project, who we interviewed on our show before.
Nice to be back. Thank you.
Oh, it's great to have you here. I think we'll start out with Stacy, and kind of could you give us a little background on you did a little bit, but more on Homefront 911, and tell us, you know, how it got started and everything.
Well, Homefront 911 is a performance art piece developed and presented by military family members who've all been directly impacted by the 10 years of war in Iraq and Afghanistan. And Homefront 911 really came about because I kept hearing the same stories from military families all over the United States of America about the stress and strain of these deployments and how these wars are coming home for our families. And yet I was also seeing what's called really an epidemic of disconnection between our military and civilian families. And out of that came the idea for Homefront 911, and very, very quickly found other military family members like Tamara Rosenleaf and Christina Piper and Sarah Rich and Michael McPherson that wanted an opportunity to tell their stories, and that's what we're doing with Homefront 911.
Great. And then how did you find out about the project?
Stacy and I have been friends for a very long time, and we're a rarity, military wives that are active in trying to do things that would benefit our troops in the long run. And so talking about what these experiences have been like and making America aware that there is a cost to war that is not easily seen, and it's in our families, has been a mission that we've been on since the beginning, since we've known one another. And this is just a new manifestation of it.
Yeah, and your husband served in?
Iraq in 2005. He did a 13-month tour.
Uh-huh. And Stacy, your husband?
My husband, 27 years with Army National Guard, and two tours in Iraq.
And was he infantryman? Or
yes, sir.
How about you?
Yes, my husband
Both
was with the 4th ID, yeah.
Oh, so I was with the 4th ID in Vietnam.
Yeah, well, it's still big, and it's still there.
Oh, yeah. And Belle, how did you get involved with these folks?
I got involved because Stacy called me said, hey, we're doing this Homefront 911, and would the Returning Veterans Project like to be involved? And, you know, I really didn't have to hesitate at all because we serve so many military moms and wives and sisters. And, you know, last year, I think 94 military family members went through our project. And so we were really happy to do that. And as your equipment falls apart.
I get a hold of it up here.
And, yeah, so it's, you know, one of the things that's happened for us in the last year since the 41st came home is that phone calls from people seeking help have gone up by 70%, and most of those calls are from moms and wives, fiancés of military members who've just returned, and readjustment's hard, and it's hard on the family, and they want to get some services, and they call us from all over the country. It's not just from Oregon, you know.
Right. How about your husband? Has he gone through the VA counseling centers, and has he done any of that, you know, through the VA?
He's gone through the process of the disability review. And one of the things we're really trying to, you know, help people understand is that a lot of the battles really begin, after our soldier or service member returns. You know, just because they're out of the service, obviously, you know, doesn't mean that the war is over.
Right.
For our military families and our veterans, you know, we're going to be living with these wars in one way or another for the rest of our lives.
And you know, I was really interested in how many people are going to perform tonight.
We've got a handful of performers this evening. We've got five military family members who are performing, and Karen Spears Zacharias is going to be facilitating, immediately following the performance. She'll be facilitating a town hall discussion that was sponsored by Oregon Humanities. Mm-hmm. Karen Spears Zacharias, as I'm sure a lot of folks know, is an author, and she wrote the book After the Flag is Folded,
right,
about what it was like for her growing up being the Gold Star daughter of a Vietnam veteran who was killed in action.
Right. So tonight, it's going to be tonight.
Yes, sir.
Okay, it will be tonight, August 5th at 7:30 p.m. at the Old Church, and that's at 1422 Southwest 11th Avenue here in Portland. And it's a sliding... Gail, could you talk about that?
Well, the Sanctuary for Veterans and Families is a 501c3, and you can find more information about us at sanctuaryvf.org. And so what we're asking folks to do is, at the door is, we're asking for a sliding scale donation of $5 to $25, mm-hmm, whatever's comfortable for you, to help us cover the cost of, putting on this performance and bringing our people in.
Great. So you wanted to, who wrote this monologue that you're going to read now?
I did.
You did?
Yes.
Great. Did you bring one?
We have one, yes.
Okay, could you go ahead and read the one you did?
Mm-hmm. This is on Father's Day.
Ooh.
On Father's Day, he goes to the gravesite of his only son. He drives his boy's beat-up old Honda. It still has a Marine Corps decal in the rear window and a long expired Department of Defense post-registration tags in the front. On the way to the cemetery, he passes a few torn yellow ribbons hanging from trees. And there was a time when most of the cars on the road had a Support Our Troops bumper sticker. And not so much anymore, and he wonders what it means. It's been 7 years since they put Jeff in the ground. He knows exactly where his son is buried, but it seems like each time he comes, it takes a little bit longer to get to his boy. He's not sure if it's because he's getting older or because the Veterans Cemetery has taken on a life of its own, giving birth to new markers each month. On Father's Day, he remembers holding his boy on the day he was born. And he remembers cutting down his boy 22 years later, howling with grief and unwrapping the rope from his neck. And Jeff went to war and came home a ghost. His dad knows he's gone. Oh, but it's hard to let go. So he keeps his son's bedroom the same. His closet contains desert boots and BDUs, and a Marine Corps poster still hangs on the window. And Jeff's handprint still smudges the window. And some 1,200 miles away, another, smaller handprint smears the bedroom window of a home near Fort Hood. On Father's Day, like every other day, the captain goes into that room and talks to his boy. When the captain thinks of Alex, he tries to recall the happy little kid who hugged him goodbye before his third tour. And he tries to forget the tormented 12-year-old that Alex became shortly after he left. Mm-hmm. He tries to forget his wife's anxious emails and frantic phone calls. The helplessness he felt being so far away, while fear turned to terror for their boy. And the guilt that remains for leaving it all. Failed by psychologists and prescriptions, Alex started shredding his skin with a knife. And the captain came home on emergency leave after his boy wrote suicide notes with his blood on the wall. And he was called to go back to Iraq, and 12-year-old Alex hung himself before he did. And now he sits in the room where he last held his boy. And he waits for the pain to subside. On Father's Day, the captain remembers cutting down his boy and unwrapping the rope from his neck.
Oh, that is just... Oh, that's tough.
That is tough, yeah.
That's tough to hear that. That's really tough. And you wrote that.
Yes, I did. And all of these monologues are based on actual events. I mean, what we know is this. There was a study done not too long ago that showed that military kids who've got a deployed parent, their rates of suicidal ideation are virtually double that of civilian children. We truly do have an emergency in our military family members, and that's why we're doing Homefront 911.
That's just... And Tamara, you wrote, is it yours? It's about your husband, right?
Some of the work that is in these pieces has relationship to my husband.
Mm-hmm.
Part of what we did here was take common themes and weave them together.
Mm-hmm.
So when you hear some of these stories, you hear some stuff that is my husband, some stuff of another military wife, a military mom,
mm-hmm.
such as that. The common themes are together.
Great. Did you want to read one of yours?
Stacy.
Here we go.
And can I just say
in the
last 3 weeks, I have taken 3 calls from military moms whose sons have recently come home and they're threatening suicide. And those are really, really difficult calls to take. And the military helpline at the Oregon Partnership has been really, really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
A mom from Portland called 2 weeks ago and said, her son and Eugene had just gotten back and had called her and said, "Mom, I'm going to kill myself."
Oh boy!
And so I got a hold of David at the hotline, and he contacted the young man through the mom, and the
mm-hmm.
young man didn't answer his phone, and David had the police go out and they took him to the VA.
They did take him to the VA.
They stopped it. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That is just.
Yeah.
Tammy, do you want to go ahead?
This one is called A Plane from Virginia, and this one is an experience that I had in March of 2006.
Okay.
In March of 2006, just 3 months after my soldier left for Iraq, I got on a plane in Virginia. I watched every person in military uniform that boarded the plane. I picked out those traveling to orders, their eyes bright, their bearing strong, moving with the pride and purpose of military through the terminal and onto the plane. I picked out the troops returning from the sand, travel weary, their eyes hooded to hide what they had seen, and focused on the prize of going home. I had also seen the small group of 6 in full dress, standing in silence as the boarding order was called. After we took our seats, we taxied to the runway, and we ignored the flight attendant's instructions, and the pilot came on the overhead speakers. He welcomed us to the flight, and he gave us weather information for the duration. By this time, my fellow travelers were hooking up headsets, reading magazines, chattering, and generally ignoring the pilot's announcements. And then he paused and said, "I'd like you to take special notice of the young men in dress uniform that are sitting among you. They're escorting home the body of one of their comrades who's making his final trip in the hold of the plane. His family will be waiting on the tarmac when we arrive. I would appreciate it if you would all keep your seats when we land to allow these young men to deboard first so they can get below and do their duty." My eyes filled with tears. How could they not? I looked at the young man across the aisle, 2 seats ahead. His dress uniform was perfect, and he sat rigidly, staring into space. I looked at my fellow travelers. Not a single one of them had quit doing what they were doing when the announcement was made. Not one. They were too busy on the laptop, conducting business, reading, chatting. The wars raging in Iraq and Afghanistan didn't touch them. I wondered how the honor guard and the other military on the plane felt. Are we that invisible to you? Why do our sacrifices not matter? The plane touched down. As we taxied to the gate, the pilot came on the speaker again, requesting, "Please, remain in your seats until the honor guard on board has exited." And I watched as people put laptops in cases, gathered up their important papers, and collected books and belongings. They turned their minds to home, business, family, friends. And I watched as every person on that plane, except myself and those in uniform, crowded into the aisles. And I cried, waiting for the last passenger to leave. America isn't at war. We are.
That was really hard to hear, you know.
Yeah. And
it's been a hard decade.
Yeah. We're talking with Stacy Bannerman and Tamara Rosenleaf from Homefront 911 Military Family Monologues, and with Belle Landau from Returning Veterans Project. And tonight at 7:30 p.m., August 5th, at the Old Church at 1422 Southwest 11th Avenue here in Portland, you'll be able to hear. Go ahead, tell them about it.
We'll be able to hear these monologues and others that really cover the spectrum, of military family members' experiences. You know, we've got one about the five stages of becoming a military spouse. So, but we're not professionals. We're military family members, and these are our stories. And we're reaching out to the community in the hopes that together we can begin to create a cure for the epidemic. Epidemic of disconnection between the military and civilian families. I also want to just take a moment. You know, we've had great support here from the Returning Veterans Project. I, as a military family member, have benefited from their services, so I'm really grateful to them. We'll be having a post-performance reception at West Cafe immediately following the national premiere of the project. We've had great support from Oregon Humanities and the Janice Gardner Foundation and Yogi T, and the Rang Schuberth Family Fund, as well as Kitchen Combat Gear. So I just, this in many ways is really, as I said, we're not professionals, we're military family members, and these are our stories. And, because we are a nation at war on some level, these stories, I think, belong to all of us. So we're really hoping that folks, will join us and, for what I'm sure is going to be an event unlike probably anything else that they've participated in before.
Yeah, it sounds like it. It really sounds like it. It's pretty hard.
Yeah, I was at the rehearsal yesterday, and I got to listen to the stories. I'm glad I got to listen to them before tonight. They were all really moving, and, everybody has a story, but these stories are stories that people aren't listening to, aren't hearing, and I think that's why they're really important for the average citizen just to come out and hear what's happening to their neighbor, somebody that they know that they have no idea their son is in the war. People just don't know, and they don't ask, and they don't really listen. So I think that's the point of why Stacy wanted to do this, along with Tamara and everybody else. And we're all involved in some way, because when these folks come home, they don't just affect their families. They affect our communities, our employers, churches, neighborhoods. The effects of war affect all of us, and we have to pay attention to that.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I was going to ask Tamara, do you have children?
No, I don't.
You don't have children either.
I do.
Yeah, Belle does.
But one of the performers tonight, Christina Piper, who also wrote one of the monologues.
Yeah, could you name the people who are going to be speaking tonight?
Yes, I'd be happy to. The performers, and again, we're all military family members. Stacy, myself, would be Stacy Bannerman, and Michael McPherson, and Sarah Rich, and Christina Piper, who also wrote one of the monologues, and of course, the lovely Tamara Rosenleaf, who you've all been introduced to already. And Christina Piper, she's coming down from the Fort Lewis area, and they've got two children, and her husband is currently preparing for his fourth deployment.
Whoa.
And their kids, they've got a boy that's not quite six and a girl that is going to be turning eight shortly. And for these children, these are deployments number three and four, respectively. These kids are literally growing up, in the shadow of war and experiencing that separation, anxiety, these kinds of things. And, a little boy growing up, learning, trying to learn how to be a boy when his daddy is away. So we do have, you know, the voices of parents and children, and the Portland premiere is the national premiere of Homefront 911, and the hope with this project is that this is just the beginning, and we will continue to, you know, add new monologues and military family members to this event, because again, we are supposed to be a nation at war. These wars are coming home to our communities, and this is a way, you know, to reach out and, as I've said, to serve, you know, together for us to find a cure for that epidemic of disconnection between the military and civilian.
There is a big gap. There's really a big gap.
Yeah.
And that boy on Michael's doing one tonight. Now, how is his writing different from the women's?
Well, Michael actually is going to be performing the monologue that I read on Father's Day.
Oh, he's going to be performing.
Yes,
it.
Yes, he is. You know, some of the performers also contributed monologues, like Tamara and Christina, and others did not. So Michael is very, very graciously and, you know, immediately, you know, wanting to be a part of the project and performing on Father's Day. But the monologues themselves, you know, are really capturing, as I said, the stories and themes that we have been hearing consistently for a very, very long time. And I do want to say that Homefront 911, you know, this isn't about politics. You know, this is not pro-war.
Right.
This is not pro-peace. We are pro-military family. And we, you know, and that's what this is about. So this is a nonpartisan project. It's not political. These are just our stories about how 10 years of war is coming home.
Right.
I'd like to say that one of the things that we know is part of the isolation and the disconnect problem is that there's only 1% of the nation that ever serve in the military. And at this point, for the first time in history, there are more military dependents than there are actually people in uniform. So the issues of the military are spreading into our communities in a way that people don't really get.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is that the military, the soldiers don't belong, nor do their families, to our government. They belong to our people.
Mm-hmm.
And when they come home or when they are suffering in this way, our nation suffers. So what we need to do is not create another institution or pile on another level of bureaucracy to take care of this problem. What we need is Americans to take care of this problem. And they are some of the most generous and giving people on this earth. And if they knew the level of suffering of our families, their hearts would break.
Oh, yes.
When my husband was deployed, the thing I wanted most was for someone to just come and bring me some soup and shovel my sidewalk. And anybody could have done it if anybody knew that's what I needed.
Yeah.
Well, we believe that when you know better, you do better.
Yeah.
And so this is an educational event, certainly. But again, this is, you know, we're speaking from and to the heart of the American home front. You know, and that's really what this is about.
And I also want to say, you know, the Returning Veterans Project now has almost 120 providers.
Wow.
And they're all,
bless their hearts.
They're all unaffiliated from, you know, they're not military. Some of them were. Some of them have family members who were, but about 50% are community members who are not affiliated in any way to the military. They're licensed, insured professionals who want to give back to the military community.
And
so,
how can they get a hold of Returning Veterans Project?
So people can just go to the website, returningveterans.org.
Mm-hmm.
They can call us at 503-933-4996. Services are available for Iraq and Afghanistan vets and their family members, from their spouses to their child to their mother, their father, their brother.
That's great. And how can people get a hold of Homefront 911?
Well, you can visit our website. We've got a web page at homefront911.com, or come to sanctuaryvf.org. Homefront 911 is a project of the Sanctuary for Veterans and Families. It's a 501c3 organization that's based out of Medford, Oregon.
And tell me about that one, because I've never
heard of
that.
I had never heard of it before either.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah.
The Sanctuary for Veterans and Families.
Right.
Well, we're a very small little organization operating out of Medford, Oregon, but with a very big mission. And you know, we're about advocating for our families and supporting them. We provide referrals. We also do projects for what I call the forgotten populations, and that's our women veterans, our Garden Reserve, and our military families. We just did a Camp Howdy, our second annual Camp Howdy for military kids. We do an annual Blue Star Brunch for military wives. We do a Sanctuary Weekend for women veterans. And we've also got available a Sanctuary Weekend for military spouses and the wives and caregivers of veterans. And our monologues include the stories of what it is to be a caregiver of a disabled veteran, because we know that the caregivers of veterans, their stress levels are nearly double that of non-veteran caregivers. So really hoping that folks join us this evening at Homefront 911 Military Family Monologues at the Old Church, 1422 Southwest 11th Avenue, Portland, Oregon. And again, this is Stacy Bannerman with Tamara Rosenleaf and Belle Landau with our project partner, Returning Veterans Project. And we'll look forward to seeing you this evening, 7:30 p.m. sharp, Homefront 911. Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah, thank you. I want to thank everybody for listening to the Radio Zine on KBOO 90.7 FM here in Portland, Oregon. And I really do want folks to go down there tonight and listen to Homefront 911 Military Family, because you're not going to hear this in the on the main news, or you're not going to hear this on television or radio of the main radios. And it's very, very worthwhile going to see. And thank you very much, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.